The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, how's your bracket looking? Is it busted yet already? I'm sure some of y'all already have a busted bracket. Part of mine is already busted too. But we'll get to that when we get to that. Before we get into the sports, I did just drop a new single today. The second single off of my upcoming seventh solo album, Suck My Dick. The new single that I dropped today is called Dudes on Dudes. Yeah, check it out. It's a pretty hilarious track. It's actually one of my favorite songs I have written up to this point so far, because I really actually laughed my ass off the entire time I was writing the track. And even when I listen to it still to this day, I'm like, you're fucking hilarious, Trop. But yeah, you can check that out on my official website, katietrop.net. And my new album, Suck My Dick, drops on April 6th. So check it out when you get a chance. So let's get right into the brackets. First of all, before we get into how busted my bracket is, hook 'em horns, motherfuckers. Longhorns took care of business last night, kicked the shit out of Colorado State. Well, it was kind of shaky there to start. They were pissing me off because they couldn't fucking drop a basket at all. And then in the second half, they decided, oh, let's just choke this away. But luckily, they held on. But regardless, the Longhorns have moved on, and I'm pretty fucking ecstatic about that. But day one, part of my Final Four has a big old period stain on it. If you do not know, that is what I call the big old red mark that you get all the way across your fucking bracket when one of your teams loses that you pick to go pretty far, and then whoop, all you see is that fucking disgusting red period stain all the way across your fucking bracket. Yep, I got that thanks to Kentucky's choke job yesterday against Oakland. That's the tournament, though. That's what's so great about March Madness. You never know where the upsets are coming from, but you know they are going to happen, and you just never know. And yesterday, Oakland took out Kentucky in crazy fashion, too. I mean, pretty much Oakland dominated this game against Kentucky from start to finish. It was close final score, 80-76, but it was really because Kentucky just started dropping down three-point shots just at random towards the end there in the fourth quarter. But Oakland was just able to hang on to this and move on for the first time in the history of their school to the round of 32. So congrats to them. But like I said, I had Kentucky as one of my Final Four picks. But other than that, so far, the bracket's not looking too terrible. Like I said, I'm excited that the Longhorns have moved on, but they will be playing Tennessee tomorrow, so that's going to be a tough one. But still, hook 'em horns, motherfuckers. The real UT, not Tennessee UT, Texas UT, bitches. So we got that matchup on tap tomorrow. But the rest of my Final Four, looking good so far. My Final Four is Iowa State versus Baylor, and both of those teams have moved on so far. And then the other half I had Purdue, who hasn't played yet, and then Kentucky, who just got demolished yesterday. So that's half of a little part of my Final Four that's knocked out. And then, of course, my championship matchup is Iowa State versus Purdue, and then Purdue is my national champion. So we'll see how that goes. I'm sure on Monday more of my bracket will have been busted, but really all I care about is the Texas Longhorns. So hook 'em horns, motherfuckers. We'll see how the rest of the weekend goes with college basketball. So let's talk pro basketball, if you will. Just a few updates this week. On Tuesday, the Denver Nuggets took care of business against their division rival, the Minnesota Timberwolves. They got the win 115-112. Nikola Jokic had a huge night, 35 points, 16 rebounds. And then Michael Porter Jr. also had a huge night with 26 points. So Denver keeps on rolling. And on Wednesday night, the Boston Celtics got a big win over the Milwaukee Bucks, 122-119. This is the Boston's seventh win in a row. But I will note, the Milwaukee Bucks did not have did not have Giannis Antetokounmpo playing in that game, so it was a pretty close game with no Giannis. It's been kind of the thing about the Celtics. I don't think a lot of us are sold on the Celtics just yet because they play like that. I mean, not saying anything bad about the rest of the Milwaukee Bucks squad, but it kind of felt like they should have just trucked on right on over them, and they certainly did not. Jason Tatum did have a nice night, 31 points, 8 rebounds, and 4 assists, but not a very impressive win from the Celtics, but still a win is a win, and that's all that matters. And then last night, Denver Nuggets took care of business yet again against the New York Knicks, 113-100. I mean, the Denver Nuggets are just the hottest team in basketball right now. I mean, technically the Celtics are, but I feel like Denver will roll over Boston if they play each other in the finals. Jokic had yet another triple-double, 30 points, 14 rebounds, and 11 assists. And then Michael Porter Jr., there's that name again. He added in 31 points. This Denver Nuggets team, they are putting it together. Each and every player is just getting better and better as we get closer and closer to the playoffs. And now that we're only a month out from the playoffs, every Friday we're going to do a playoff recap just to see where everybody's at right now. So if the playoffs were to begin today, the number one overall seed would be the Oklahoma City Thunder in the Western Conference. That's where we're going to begin the Western Conference. Right now, the Oklahoma City Thunder, number one overall seed. Number two overall seed would be the Denver Nuggets. Number three would be the Minnesota Timberwolves. So right there, you see the domination from that one division alone. The Northwestern Division is just stacked at this current point in time. I mean, the top three seeds, there they are. Then at number four would be the Los Angeles Clippers. Number five seed would be the New Orleans Pelicans. Number six would be the Dallas Mavericks. So they've moved up into the actual playoff round one rather than the play-in. So then we get to the play-in side. Number seven would be the Phoenix Suns. Number eight would be the Sacramento Kings. Number nine would be the Los Angeles Lakers. And number 10 would be the Golden State Warriors. Then turning to the Eastern Conference, number one overall seed, the Boston Celtics, who also just won their division this week as well. As I said on Monday's show, they clinched a playoff spot last week, and now they have officially won their division. That's how far and away the Celtics are running away with the Eastern Conference. Number two seed would be the Milwaukee Bucks. Number three, Cleveland Cavaliers. Number four, Orlando Magic. Number five, the New York Knicks. Number six, the Indiana Pacers. And then in the play-in side, number seven seed would be the Miami Heat. Number eight, the Philadelphia 76ers, who are expected to get Joel Embiid back in about 2 to 3 weeks, they're saying. So we'll see what happens there. If they hang on to that playoff spot, they may be getting Joel Embiid back. And then the number nine seed would be the Chicago Bulls, and number 10, the Atlanta Hawks. So that's how the NBA playoff picture is looking currently at this point in time. Anything could change, but obviously on the Eastern Conference side of things, the Boston Celtics have the Eastern Conference on lockdown. All right, so let's move on to my 2024 MLB season predictions. I did just do the AL and NL East on the last episode, so today we are going to do the AL and NL Central teams. I actually, when I was putting this together, I should have saved the Central for last because both of these divisions are just straight up terrible. I mean, they're just awful. These teams are just terrible. But I started writing it out, and I was like, well, it's too late now. I'm pretty much halfway done with what I'm writing out, so I might as well just get to it. Should have done the West, but we'll save that for Monday's show. So this is how I feel like the AL Central is going to shake up. By the way, this is the most up-in-the-air division in all of baseball this season. It was really difficult for me to choose a team because none of them are really impressive. I mean, three of the five teams are straight garbage. Just straight garbage. But I wouldn't be shocked by any one of these teams to actually put together something to actually win. So I went with the team that I think is the best and the most consistent out of all of the five teams, and that is the Minnesota Twins. I've got them winning this division. You know, they have a pretty decent team. You know, they got Carlos Correa. They've got Royce Lewis, who really just turned it on last year. He was called up to the majors and made a big impact from the day he was called up. So it's going to be interesting to see if he's able to carry that on into this season. They're starting pitching, not terrible. They've got Pablo Lopez coming off of a fantastic year last year. Joe Ryan. And then they traded for Anthony DeSclafani in the offseason. So we'll see what they've got. I feel like out of all the teams in this division, they have the most consistent roster, the best roster, but that really doesn't say a lot because the AL Central is just trash. Moving on, I feel like the Cleveland, I almost called them the Indians, but I feel like Cleveland is going to be the, is going to finish in second place this year. The Guardians, the thing about them is there's no Terry Francona. He retired as their manager last year. But there's a lot up in the air with this team to me. I mean, the only really consistent players, I mean, they have some consistency, but overall, this is just a really weird roster. Now, like I said, it's a very weak division, so I wouldn't be shocked if Cleveland was able to put something together. But really, their only two really consistent players are Shane Bieber, the starting pitcher, who's just had injury issues over the last couple of seasons, and then their closer, Emmanuel Clase, who's very solid, but I mean, if your closer is your best, guy on the roster, that says a lot. But there's just not a lot of depth past Bieber and Clase, though, at pitching. So that's why I really went with Minnesota in this division, because Cleveland, there's just a lot of questions to me. With a new manager, there's still a lot of questions, and there just wasn't anybody beyond those couple of players on their roster for me to go, yeah, this is going to be a pretty decent team this year. But I don't really expect much from Cleveland. Then I feel like the Chicago White Sox are going to finish in third place in the AL Central this year. I don't know why. They're a terrible team. I could barely name a couple players on this roster. They have terrible starting pitching. They have terrible relief pitching. They don't have a lot going on offensively. The couple of guys they have who are good players, they're very injury prone. So the Chicago White Sox, I'm not expecting much from them this season. Then I feel like the Detroit Tigers are going to finish in fourth place in the AL Central. They are also another terrible team with a terrible roster. They have nothing going on. I really couldn't name for you too many players on this roster because there's just going a lot with this team. Although I will say they are having a good spring so far, but spring training is much different than the actual season. And then I feel like the Kansas City Royals are going to finish in fifth place in the AL Central, just another overall terrible team with not much to discuss with this team. There really aren't any highlight players on any of these teams, on any five of the teams. Really, all like I said, this AL Central, once I started going through it, I was like, Jesus Christ, this is the worst fucking division, and the only reason why I'm going with the Twins is because they're the most consistent, but even though I think Chicago, Detroit, and Kansas City, and really throwing Cleveland have terrible rosters, I wouldn't be shocked if any one of them walked away with this division. I feel like it's just going to be a battle of the garbage in the AL Central. Moving on to the NL Central, another weird division. I think they're slightly better than the American League Central, but that doesn't say a lot. So I feel like the St. Louis Cardinals are going to finish on top in this division. They're a team that tends to be up and down. And since last year they had a pretty terrible year, I wouldn't be shocked to see them bounce back and have a good year this year. I mean, they still have Arenado and Goldschmidt, two really top-tier players in the league. I mean, Goldschmidt's coming off of a fantastic season last year. Really, so is Arenado. They did add starting pitcher Sonny Gray to the starting pitcher rotation, and that's a huge problem for them. I still think going into this season, starting pitching is a problem with them, because even though Sonny Gray is a good pitcher, his problem has been injuries, and that's really the problem with this entire pitching roster, not just starting pitching, but even relief pitchers. Tons of issues, I feel like, for the Cardinals because they either have injury-prone players or just old-ass players where you're like, damn, he's still in the league. So I have questions there, but offensively, I have zero questions. I feel like they're going to be able to score runs easily. I feel like they're going to be a very solid defensive team. It's just the pitching is where I have a lot of questions with the Cardinals, but I still think they're going to finish in first place in the National League Central. Then I feel like the Milwaukee Brewers are going to finish in second place. I really don't know why I picked the Brewers. They have a lot of inconsistencies across the board with this roster. But then I looked at the rest of the teams in this division and was like, well, that's pretty much the overall theme of this entire division is there's a lot of inconsistencies. I mean, Milwaukee, they have not figured out their closer issue since they traded away Hader a couple years ago. And I still think that's going to be a problem this year. They're a very streaky team, and they were last year, and so that's going to be the theme, I feel like, again, going into this season. So not a lot to talk about with the Brewers for me, other than they're just a very inconsistent squad. I don't know why I picked them to finish in second place, but I did. Then finishing in third place in the National League Central, I have the Chicago Cubs. I do feel like they have a couple of really good, solid young players in starting pitcher Steele and then, of course, Nico Horner. Those are both really solid guys. Then they re-signed Bellinger in the offseason, and then you still have Dansby Swanson, who in a Cubs uniform has played pretty solid. But I do think beyond Steele in the starting pitching rotation, they've got a lot of questions. So that's where I think a lot of their problems will lie. They just have not been a consistent team, so it's really hard for me to believe in the Cubs just yet, but they're in a terrible division, so I wouldn't be surprised if they were able to put something together here and become a wild card team at the end of the season. But I don't think they're going to have any issues scoring runs. I think they're going to be a pretty solid defensive team. It's really just they're going to have a lot of issues in the pitching department, both in the starting pitching and then also in the bullpen. Closer, though, I think they're solid. Finishing in fourth place in the NL Central, I have the Cincinnati Reds. Really, the only thing the Cincinnati Reds have to look forward to this season is Ellie De La Cruz. Been a fantastic player since they called him up. He's an absolute phenom, but I just kind of feel like with the Reds, they're a terrible team, so I wouldn't be shocked if at some point, not this season, but maybe next season or the season after that, wouldn't be shocked if we see him end up traded to another team just because he's such a fantastic player. He's just going to waste away with the Reds because they don't have shit going on in Cincinnati at this point in time. Speaking of another team that doesn't have shit going on, the team that I feel like is going to finish in last place in the NL Central and quite possibly could finish in last place overall in Major League Baseball this season, the Pittsburgh Pirates. I mean, other than Brian Reynolds, this team is awful. O'Neill Cruz, he's looking like a pretty positive prospect, but I mean, he hasn't done what Ellie De La Cruz has done. You know, Ellie De La Cruz is a fantastic, phenomenal player to watch, and he's definitely going to give the Reds something to cheer for, but O'Neill Cruz is not going to do that for the Pirates. And even Brian Reynolds, you know, he's coming off of that injury-prone season last year, and the Pirates, they just are a terrible team. What do they have going on? Absolutely nothing. So I feel like they're not only going to be the worst team in their division, but possibly one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball all around. And then moving on to a very odd story that happened in baseball this week. You know, the Dodgers kicked off the season in Korea with a couple of games against the Padres. And man, they got creamed in one of them. But that was not the news. The news actually happened to be about their star, Shohei Ohtani. He ended up firing his interpreter earlier. It was either before or after one of the games. I can't recall, but it was just the other day. And basically, this is a very foggy story right now. So there's a lot up in the air right now in this one. Shohei Ohtani is not in the clear. Either in this one, but if you don't know, Ohtani he does not speak English. That's not his language. And so he needs an interpreter when he's dealing with people in the media and contracts and really just everything in his all around life here in America, he has an interpreter. And he's had this interpreter with him his entire Major League Baseball career. So this guy's been with him for a long ass time. At least, I don't even know how many years Ohtani's been in the league now, at least 5-6 years. But this guy's been with him the entire way. Well, Ohtani ended up having to fire him earlier in the week because it was found out that this interpreter is involved with an illegal bookie, and he ended up owing this bookie $4.5 million. And Ohtani fired him. Now, there's the fuzziness on this story is, did Ohtani know? Did Ohtani have anything to do with this? And if he did, he's in a shitload of trouble. Because if you don't know, Pete Rose, the dude is not in the Hall of Fame because of his ties to gambling. And we all know that's just a travesty because Pete Rose is one of the greatest baseball players of all time and absolutely deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. But baseball does not look good looks down upon people who participate in gambling. Now, it's not looking like Ohtani participated in this gambling, but basically, we don't know if he... Because basically what happened here is this $4.5 million gambling debt was paid off. And Ohtani's camp is saying that this interpreter stole the $4.5 million and paid off the bookie. And the interpreter is also going along with that story. But there was also a story saying that Ohtani paid off that $4.5 million debt and he was happy to do so. Now, it wasn't necessarily Ohtani's debt that he was paying off. It was basically this interpreter approached him, said, hey, I owe $4.5 million to this bookie. I need it paid off. Is there any way you can help me with it? And basically $4.5 million was wired to this bookie. And here we are. So we don't know if Ohtani knew, because if Ohtani knew that he was paying off a $4.5 million debt, whether it was his debt or not, the fact that he was paying it off, he will be in hot water for that situation. But we don't know. We don't know. There is so much up in the air on this at this point in time. You can't sit here and say he knew. You can't sit here and say he didn't know. What would suck, because when I first read this story, I was like, damn. Man, because he doesn't speak the language. He relies on this interpreter. Man, that would really fucking suck if he just got taken to the cleaners. And I mean, it is his own ignorance because he's not watching out for himself. Because at the end of the day, you do need to watch out for yourself, especially if you're in Ohtani's shoes. Now, that's the way I'm looking at it too. Is like, this guy just signed the biggest contract in sports history. And so you kind of look at it and go, how are you that ignorant? But also I kind of read a story. I've been reading a couple of stories since this broke about Ohtani, and basically he's kind of been having people his entire life basically do everything for him. So I wouldn't be shocked if he really didn't know that this was going on and he did really get screwed out of $4.5 million. And possibly even more. But also at the same time, is he that ignorant? Maybe he's just doing that thing where he actually does speak English and he's just pretending he doesn't just so he can play the stupid guy. Who knows? I'm sure a lot more is going to develop from this story because I could be wrong on this part about what I'm about to say, but I think this is what I read last night, is that part of the reason why this is out there is that the bookie is on trial or he just got arrested. And so now we're going to start see if there's an actual trial that goes on, we're going to see some legitimate discovery start coming out of this. And that means we're going to start seeing some legitimate evidence come out of this. And it's definitely going to be something that hangs over the Los Angeles Dodgers season all season long, because this just started. And the season just started. So I feel like there's going to be more and more leaking out as the season progresses on. If Ohtani had nothing to do with this, then hey, that it's really just one of those shitty stories that yet another rich person just got fucked over by a person close to them, which there are endless stories like that. Or Ohtani paid this dude's debt off. And if that's the case, that could jeopardize his career greatly. Not just for Hall of Fame. I mean, he could be suspended. Like, if today it was announced he knew he was paying off that $4.5 million debt for this guy, he'd be suspended today. And it would be indefinite. It would be one of those, it could be a possible get the fuck out of here. Like, not even suspension, like banishment from the league. So this is a big deal. It may or may not sound like a big deal to some people, but this is a big fucking deal if Ohtani knew what he was paying off at the end of the day. But like I said, a lot of fuzziness in this story. I'm sure a lot more is going to be coming out, especially if there really is a trial that's about to happen, because that means people are going to be talking. That means evidence is going to be presented, and we will all have a front row seat for that. But I just found it to be a very interesting story, regardless of what happens here. If Ohtani is innocent or guilty in this, who knows what's going to happen, but it's going to be a very, very interesting story, to say the least. And it doesn't upset me, because I fucking hate the Dodgers. And whatever ruins their season puts a big old smile on my motherfucking face. So I'm going to get back to watching all this college basketball. Hook 'em horns, motherfuckers. Enjoy this amazing weekend of sports. And I will talk to you fools on Monday.